Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today I will analyze the case of Justin Fairfax. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the incident, then offer my analysis. Justin Edward Fairfax was born on February 17, 1979, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. When he was 5 years old, his family moved to Washington, D.C. He graduated from high school, then studied public policy at Duke University, earning a bachelor's degree in 2000. In 2002, he attended Columbia Law School. He graduated with a Juris Doctor in 2005. Over the next few years, Justin worked as a law clerk, a federal prosecutor, and with a few different law firms. On June 17, 2006, Justin married a dentist named Serena. The couple went on to have a son and a daughter. The family lived in a 2,000-square-foot house at 8106 Guinevere Drive in Annandale, Virginia. In 2013, Justin ran for state attorney general, but he was defeated in a close race. In 2017, he ran as a Democrat for lieutenant governor of Virginia and was victorious. He worked part-time as lieutenant governor, earning about $36,000 a year. Justin also worked full-time at a law firm. Everything seemed to be working out pretty well for Justin. He was making friends, attracting positive attention, and growing more powerful politically. He was committed to keeping this momentum. One thing was for certain, Justin would not be involved in a career-derailing incident. Now moving to the timeline of the incident. On February 3, 2019, the media reported an accusation made against Justin Fairfax by a woman named Vanessa Tyson. Vanessa claimed that Justin had conducted a sexual assault against her on July 28, 2004, when they were in Boston, Massachusetts, at the Democratic National Convention. The alleged assault took place in Justin's hotel room. According to Vanessa, her encounter with Justin was consensual at first. They were just kissing. After that, Justin forced her to perform oral sex on him. Vanessa claimed that she had suppressed her memories of the incident, but those memories surfaced when she saw an article in October 2017 about Justin's campaign for lieutenant governor. She went to the Washington Post in November of that year, but they were unable to corroborate her account. They decided not to run the story. Justin denied the allegation. He admitted to having sex with Vanessa, but said it was consensual. As far as why Vanessa came forward, Justin suggested that her motive was political. There was a recent event that he cited to support his theory. The governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, had been involved in a scandal of his own starting on February 1, 2019. A racist photograph of Ralph from 1984 was discovered in a school yearbook. Many people thought that Ralph would resign, which meant that Justin would become the governor of Virginia. In response to Justin's suggestion that her accusation was political, Vanessa said that she was a Democrat and had no political agenda. As the scandal was unfolding, Justin allegedly used obscene language to describe Vanessa in a private staff meeting. The chief of staff for Justin said there was profanity, but it had nothing to do with Vanessa. On February 8, 2019, a second accuser came forward. A woman named Meredith Watson claimed that Justin committed a sexual assault against her in the spring of 2000 when they were both students at Duke University. The alleged attack, which she called premeditated and aggressive, occurred in a fraternity house on campus. A friend of hers remembered that Meredith mentioned the alleged assault one day after it occurred. Meredith claimed that after the alleged assault, she encountered Justin outside a campus party. She asked him, "Why did you do it?" Justin allegedly responded, quote, "I knew that because of what happened to you last year, you would be too afraid to say anything," unquote. Presumably, he was referring to an alleged assault conducted by a basketball player against Meredith 1 year earlier. Justin had maintained a decent level of support after the first allegation, but this second allegation led to significant pressure to resign. He denied the claim by Meredith, saying that he would clear his good name and he had nothing to hide. He added, quote, "It is obvious that a vicious and coordinated smear campaign is being orchestrated against me. I will not resign," unquote. Justin was placed on leave from the law firm and 4 of his staff members resigned. Despite all the outrage and the pressure, he remained in the position of lieutenant governor. In 2021, he ran as a Democrat for governor of Virginia. Not surprisingly, Justin was brutally defeated in the primary. His political career was over. Furthermore, it was unlikely that he would ever get another job at a prestigious law firm. Justin ran into some financial problems. It appears as though he never recovered from the allegations and the resulting losses. Unfortunately for Justin, there was more bad news on the way. In July 2025, his wife Serena filed for divorce. She claimed that he did not pay his share of the children's private school tuition, the mortgage, and household expenses. Justin claimed that his wife filed her divorce complaint in bad faith. She had not demonstrated an intent to permanently separate because they still lived together. As the divorce proceedings continued, Serena accused Justin of drinking alcohol on a daily basis. The area of the house where he stayed was littered with empty wine bottles and dirty laundry. She indicated that in 2022, he took money that was set aside for horseback riding lessons for their children and purchased a handgun. In January 2026, Justin called the police and said that his wife had physically assaulted him. By this point, Serena had installed multiple security cameras inside the family house, presumably because she did not trust her husband, Justin. The video captured by those cameras contradicted Justin's allegations. The police determined that no assault occurred. Despite his false accusation against Serena, Justin was never charged for filing a false report. His false claim, however, was used against him in the divorce proceedings. The judge ordered Justin to move out of the family house on Guinevere Drive by April 30, 2026. As it turns out, Justin never moved out. He decided to take a much different approach. On Thursday, April 16, 2026, just after midnight, one of Justin's children called 911 and requested assistance at the house. When the police arrived, they discovered that 47-year-old Justin Fairfax and his 49-year-old wife, Serena Fairfax, were dead. Interior video surveillance cameras revealed what happened. Justin had shot his wife, Serena, multiple times in the basement. He then went upstairs to the master bedroom and brought an end to his own life using the same firearm. At the time I am making this video, investigators are trying to determine the motive for the murder. Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. One of Justin's friends told the media that Justin never moved past the scandal from February 2019. He was depressed, in darkness, trying to deal with everything he lost, and had a feeling that there was no hope. A few of his friends encouraged him to get help. Presumably, Justin never did. One of his last statements to this friend was, quote, "I need somebody to help me prove my innocence. I can't get my life back until somebody stands up for me," unquote. Item number two, in the time leading up to the fatal shooting, Justin's behavior became increasingly erratic and his alcohol consumption was out of control. He was drinking heavily every single day. These changes were noted by the judge who was overseeing the divorce proceedings. The judge wrote that Justin was a talented man who had undefined emotional issues. He added, quote, "Yet there can be no mistake that these undefined issues are in fact defining him and limiting his ability to be the person he is capable of being, including, but not limited to, the role of dad," unquote. The judge believed there were clear and extremely high tensions in the Fairfax family home, and it had been that way for an extended period of time. He wrote that Justin's isolation, drinking, and lack of participation in family life are manifestations of what seems to be a sense of fatalism and hopelessness. A hearing was coming up on April 21, 2026, where Justin and Serena were going to divide their assets. Justin had recently been served legal paperwork related to this hearing. The police believe this could have been the catalyst for the murder. This makes sense considering the shooting took place just 5 days before that hearing. Item number three, considering the devastating effect of the allegations on Justin's political career, one would think that they must have been well supported. Like there were several witnesses and substantial documentation that made Justin's guilt clear and undeniable. In reality, there was very little support for the allegations against Justin. No witnesses, no DNA, no video, no documentation, no physical evidence of any type. No report was made to the authorities at the time of the alleged assaults. Vanessa did not mention the alleged assault for 13 years, claiming that she had suppressed her memory. Meredith told a friend about the alleged assault when it happened, but she only came forward publicly after the news broke about Vanessa's claim. According to Justin, Vanessa claimed that she first met him on July 26, 2004, 2 days before the alleged assault. He said that he did not arrive in Boston until July 27. Vanessa claimed that she never contacted Justin after the alleged assault, but Justin said she'd left him a voicemail. Justin's defense was straightforward. He said everything that happened between him and the women was consensual. When weighing the evidence, it becomes clear the women could not prove their case by the criminal standard, beyond a reasonable doubt, and they could not prove it beyond the civil standard, preponderance of the evidence. This case was based on the word of Vanessa and Meredith against the word of Justin. The women had no way to prove their allegations, and Justin had no way to disprove them. This was a stalemate, but somehow it transformed into a defeat for Justin. The reaction was a lot worse than the evidence. During the time when the scandal broke, 2019, there was a fear that voters had very little tolerance for unresolved sexual assault allegations, regardless of the strength or weakness of the case. For many people, an accusation was as good as a conviction. Item number 4, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. Before the allegations made by Vanessa and Meredith in February 2019, Justin had everything going for him. He was a successful politician with a bright future. There were many reasons to believe his situation was only going to get better. Some people believed he was destined for the White House. After the allegations, all this optimism dissipated. Justin remained lieutenant governor until his term expired, but he was never elected to political office again. He lost his career and found himself unemployable. He lost his marriage, his children, his sobriety, his sanity, and ultimately, his will to live. As I mentioned, the police believed that Justin was triggered by being served legal paperwork for the upcoming hearing. This was probably part of it, but Justin had been losing for a long time. I think he was motivated by despair, depression, and hopelessness. He did not see a way out of his situation. He had no way to prove the allegations against him were untrue. Justin probably believed that if he could prove them untrue, his political career would be gloriously resurrected. In reality, it can be difficult to make a comeback in politics regardless of the reason for the original failure. There was no solution to Justin's problem. His political career had been permanently disassembled. I think the fatal shooting can be explained by the cumulative effect of multiple defeats over 7 years. It appears as though there was a revenge component. Maybe Justin blamed his wife for divorcing him and taking him to court. In his last moment, he was determined to make sure that his misery had company. He was not going to leave his wife behind to enjoy life without him. They would share the same fate. Justin was self-centered, vindictive, and had a sense of entitlement. I find it curious that Justin spent the last 7 years of his life trying to convince people that he was a good person. He claimed that he would never engage in behavior consistent with those allegations. People had misjudged him. People should have given him the benefit of the doubt. In the end, he proved himself to be a killer. He did something worse than the allegations. He went over the top and murdered his wife. Perhaps there was a message embedded in his behavior. He wanted to communicate something to those people who despised him, to those people who failed to support him. Perhaps he was saying, if you are going to repeatedly accuse me of being a bad guy, then with my final act, I will give you a concrete reason to believe it. Those are my thoughts on the case of Justin Fairfax. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon.